Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Joe Allen is author of Dark Eon, Transhumanism and the War Against Humanity. He's written for Chronicles, The Federalist, Human Events, The National Pulse, Parabola, Salvo, and Protocol, the Journal of the Entertainment Technology Industry, and he holds a master's degree from Boston University, where he studied cognitive science and human evolution as they pertain to religion. As an arena rigger, he's toured the world for rock and roll, country, rap, classical, and cage fighting productions, and he now serves as the transhumanism editor for Bannon's War Room. Joe Allen, welcome to Coast AM. How are you?
Richard, honored to be here. Doing very well.
Transhumanism editor. I've not heard of another transhumanism editor in the media before. Are you, as far as you know, are you the only one?
I'm the only one. I'm the first, and as the term goes out of fashion, perhaps the last, but that's me.
Well, I don't know. I'm surprised. You would think this is such a huge area of interest now. Everybody's talking about it. You would think by now practically every newspaper, or at least the digital versions, would have an AI or a transhumanism editor. Why don't they, I suppose?
I think going forward, they'll just call it, science, technology, progress. It seems to be so infused in the culture and disturbingly so readily accepted that I don't think that the kind of sense of the uncanny that transhumanism evokes will linger, at least not as long as I would like.
AI and transhumanism. We tend to sort of intermingle those terms. Are they the same thing?
Yes and no. I you could say that pretty much every transhumanist, or at least every transhumanist I'm aware of, looks to AI as a method of human improvement. But most AI programmers, or at least many, don't necessarily see it in such extreme terms as a transhumanist would. You know, transhumanists are looking to augment the human to the point that we have gone beyond the human. Whereas the coders that I know, their purpose is really more mundane. Their purpose is to create computer algorithms that will sell, and idealistically create computer programs that will improve people's lives.
I'm just reading from a blog that you wrote back in December of 2021, so almost 2 years ago exactly. You write, artificial intelligence operates on a different plane than human reason. As described by various futurists and technologists, AI is literally an alien mind. In advanced artificial neural networks, the modes of cognition, the logical steps behind any given conclusions are completely incomprehensible, even to their creators. What is meant by AI being an alien mind?
But it's a mode of cognition that has never existed on the planet before. You know, there are a lot of ways in which machines imitate human physical activities, and, you know, machines are oftentimes built from biological designs, but they didn't really think. Many would argue that artificial intelligence isn't really thinking, but an example I use oftentimes, if a dog were to begin reciting poetry, or if a dog was able to generate an image, however unoriginal, you would call that dog brilliant. And yet, oftentimes when people look to artificial intelligence, they see it as a sort of gimmick, even though they've made sand that could speak. They've used a form of digital alchemy so that even sand can create a painting. And when you look at the images generated by artificial intelligence, when you look at the sorts of models of the world that artificial intelligence produces, and especially when you think about the ways in which artificial intelligence is altering the way people behave in the world, altering human thought, all of it is in fact alien. It is something that it's almost human, but in its weirdness, in its coldness, in its logic, it's a mode of thought that it might as well be coming from another planet.
In this blog, you're reviewing two books on the subject of AI. The first one, The Age of AI and Our Human Future. The second one, AI 2041, 10 Visions for Our Future. You write, the former argues that artificial intelligence already displays unearthly powers of perception. It will soon determine the fate of nations. The latter envisions algorithms becoming quasi-spiritual entities who cradle a new humanity. These beings are inevitable, the authors maintain, and the risks to our freedom are profound. First of all, what do you mean by, or what is meant in these books that the envisions of algorithms becoming quasi-spiritual entities?
Well, you know, that was in reference to Kai-Fu Lee's book, AI 2041. Kai-Fu Lee, comes from my hometown of Knoxville, Tennessee, but his family, I believe, was Chinese. He went on to return to China. He now runs an investment corporation called Sinovision, investing in different AI companies, and he's a frequent flyer at the World Economic Forum. In his book, co-authored with a fiction writer from China, they describe what they think will be the world we live published in 2021, in 20 years. And they oftentimes turn to these religious motifs. So they talk about, in India, an animated god that a young person is turning to for all of the deepest questions of life. There are motifs in which children have an AI companion, sort of like a guardian angel, that follows them throughout their life, that learns from them, and of course teaches the child. It's a symbiotic relationship. It's everything that religions have talked about for millennia, except in this instance, it's digital. It's something that man has made. And for an atheist, and many, almost all people in this space, with a few exceptions, they're atheists. So for them, religious stories are just stories. They don't have any kind of, they're not reflecting a deeper supernatural reality. And in this godless universe, it seems that the only thing that human beings can do is to create gods, to create angels, to create demons. And that's exactly what Kai-Fu Lee is describing, the creation of disembodied spirits that human beings commune with through either virtual reality and augmented reality, or, he doesn't necessarily believe that Neuralink or any sort of thing like that will come online. But if you listen to Elon Musk, he's saying that the ultimate communion with these gods will be through a brain-computer interface in which electrodes are snaking into every corner of the brain, and a human being then becomes, in some sense, part of that spiritual digital reality.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You, going back to the blog for a moment, because there's so much to unpack just in the first couple of paragraphs, you write, as legacy humans, I love that term, legacy humans, our choice is to either reject this alien intelligence and fall behind, or to forge a human AI symbiosis, to let ethereal tentacles probe us, analyze us, and guide our evolution. Normal people are horrified by either prospect, but that's irrelevant. The future doesn't care about your feelings, nor do the people creating and directing it. Fall behind or forge a human AI symbiosis. So let's talk about these two choices. So if we decide to just reject artificial intelligence and become complete Luddites and maybe, I don't know, live among the Amish, what's so bad with that option?
Well, you know, myself, I'm more and more attracted to that option every day, but the way that this is being framed is, of course, the future, right? This is the future. And if you don't acquiesce to the future, then you are relegated to the past. So just to take this future, capital F, take this future at face value, the way it's presented is that as other human beings begin to adapt to it, to take on these artificial intelligences as partners, as symbiotic co-organisms, we are presented with a situation in which you are not able to keep up. So look at the educational system, or look at any corporation, or look at military conflict. The way it's presented is that without the advantage of artificial intelligence, those who fall behind, those who don't have their brain upgraded, so to speak, or at least their cognitive landscape upgraded, they will not be able to compete against those who do. Now, I think that it's quite likely that there's a lot of arrogance in this. There's a lot of blindness to possible downsides, and so it's possible or even probable that those who turn their cognition over, at least a portion of their cognition over to the machine, will not in the long term function as well as those who remain legacy humans, at least to some degree. But because the system that we live in America, in China, in Europe, in India, increasingly across the world, we live in a system where it's normal to kind of partner with these machines, to be symbiotic with it. If you don't have a smartphone, for instance, people kind of look at you askance. They think that you're strange. They think that you're backward and behind, especially potential employers. If you increase that, or if you expand that out to all of these other technologies that are rapidly being either imposed or at least introduced into the society, it isn't necessarily that according to an objective evolutionary paradigm that you're falling behind, but according to that social construct, you are. And so in essence, you know, when I was writing there, it was in some ways channeling what the authors of The Age of AI, that's Eric Schmidt, Daniel Huttenlocher, and of course, Henry Kinzinger. What you have there is these power players who are describing a world in which artificial intelligence will be integrated into every aspect of the society. And those who have not adapted, those who have not conformed, those who have not become symbiotes, will be either excluded openly or at least implicitly excluded because they can't keep up. It's really horrifying to me for a number of reasons, but maybe the most is that it's a social construct as much as anything else. And whenever you see this in history, whenever you see a sort of norm introduced in which conformity is expected and it's widely adopted, especially when it's imposed by authority, then you do end up in a situation where those who don't conform, those who don't become part of the system, are of course disadvantaged or even excluded entirely.
So if we vie for door number two and forge a human AI symbiosis, and as you write, to let ethereal tentacles probe us, analyze us, and guide our evolution, what do we lose in that bargain?
Well, I think that the first thing you lose is the kind of freedom of an organic existence, and the other thing that you lose is the synchronicity or the serendipity of the spiritual life that bubbles up beneath that organic existence or comes down from above that organic existence. When you look at the digital system, when you look at the digital life, it's so calculated, it's so controlled. Even the freedom that's offered within that digital system is in some way ensnared by it. And so if something as simple as finding your way from one place to the other, to the extent that you have turned your mind over to the algorithm, you lose all of the interactions that typically would have accompanied you along the way on your journey. Where do I go, you may ask a person, or even that wrong turn that takes you down what happened to be the right path. Again, extrapolate that out to friendship, extrapolate that out to romance, extrapolate that out to the long-term decision-making of the society. I think that what you lose is all of the different forces, both organic and spiritual, that have brought us up to this point. What they say we gain is, of course, something that approaches omniscience, or at least this higher state of awareness, this higher consciousness.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.